substance without the static. You're listening to the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, 26 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. I'll tell you what, if you want, send those petitions. I'm going to post a little bit later at Facebook.com. The post about Father and the healing mass. My wife will be at that mass tomorrow. And if you want to post your intentions on Facebook or message me or email them to me, I will ask her to pray and stand in proxy for a lot of you. My next guest, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, can't be present there. I know a lot of you can't. You listen to me all over the country. You might be in New York. You might be in Austin, Texas. You might be in Montana. You might be in the Carolinas. I don't know where you're listening. Chicago. We'll pray for you. I really believe in the power of intercessory prayer. I do. I know God is merciful, and I will ask her if I can't make it there tomorrow because of my show schedule. To pray for all of you in a very special way. So send those intentions, and we'll leave them at the foot of Our Lady. But right now, let's change gears. Kind of awkward going from a moment of such rich prayer, talking about something like betting on professional sports. But you know this show, right? It's a mixed bag. I take a look at everything from politics and finance to family and faith. You'll get a look at life here you won't find anywhere else. And it's interesting. NFL has kicked off a lot of news there, right? And I know a lot of you gamble on professional sports. I know you do, right? You know, a lot of you call your bookie, or maybe you're in a fantasy football league, or maybe you're in some sort of other league where money's at play, right? We have all these issues right now in the NFL, right? Domestic abuse by its players, like with Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson and now Jonathan Dwyer. You've got the NBA and the NHL. They locked their players out over salary issues. We've had that drug scandal that rocked Major League Baseball, and a lot of people using performance-enhancing drugs. And I know that's not limited to Major League Baseball either, or just to professional sports. So if you read the headlines, there was a headline that came across, and this is what I want to talk about today. Will legalized sports betting erode the integrity of professional sports? Will legalized sports betting erode the integrity of professional sports? I mean, Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey is apparently thumbing his nose at the federal government and is legalizing betting on professional sports in his state. A lot of people are applauding this. Right now, there's a federal law against it, but Governor Christie would allow sports betting to take place in New Jersey's casinos and racetracks. And, of course, this is so probably a boost to the state's bottom line, since the number of very large casinos, as you probably just heard in Atlantic City, are closing all of a sudden. The Trump Plaza just closed there. I think it was the most recent one. I think four of them just closed. But anyway, Christie was betting, and parting the pun right there, that casinos would revive the economy in southern Jersey. It didn't. That's because legalized gambling, I mean, more casinos are popping up all over the place. I think they're drawing people away from Atlantic City. But, it's obvious that a lot of people gamble. A lot of money spent, especially on the Super Bowl, But gambling on professional sports is not against the law. In certain areas, it is in, I think, all of other 49 states. New Jersey would be kind of a magnet for this kind of gambling, at least for a while. Is it a political ploy on the part of Christie to somehow or other show he's willing to defy federal authorities? I don't think so. Does it make him look like a tough guy before the 2016 presidential elections? I don't know. What's his motive? I don't know. The question I want to take a look at is there integrity in professional sports that we need to guard? And is there a danger in allowing gambling on these types of games? Will it alter the games? Will games be thrown? Will organized crime somehow get in and begin to manipulate the outcome of some of these games? And one of my sports experts, the guy who I always go to when it comes to faith and sports, is Dr. Bill Thierfelder. He's the president of Belmont Abbey College and the author of a book called Less Than a Minute to Go, The Secret of World-Class Performance in Sports Business and Everyday Life. And we've talked about a lot of different things here. He was a former NCAA Division I coach and an Olympian. And I'll tell you what, check out his books. He's a licensed psychologist and a diplomat of the American Board of Psychological Specialties. And it's good to have him here with me today. Doctor, always a delight. Welcome back.
Hey, Drew. I'm counting on those prayers, by the way.
You got
them. I wish I could be there.
I promise you, I will pray, and I'll certainly have my wife represent your family. I'll ask her
thanks.
To pray, okay?
Well, the first thing I tell you about it is what's interesting to me is, you know, I always talk about play, and I talk about that sport is one form of play, which is why we're all made for it. Every human being in history of world has right. played in some way. And actually, one of the four types of play, one of them is games of chance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting that the reason why we're so gambling, in a sense, can be so appealing to us is that we like games of chance. I mean, it's play. It's like fun.
Yeah, I love them.
You know, picture little games you played as kids, like somebody hide a pebble behind their hand, and there was kind of an excitement in trying to pick the right hand, you know, and if you got it right, it was just a pebble, you know, but you were kind of happy, you know, that happened. And I think the problem with gambling to some degree is that it monetizes that and kind of increases the, you know, maybe the incentive and heightens the sensation of the winning and the losing. You know, lotteries are gambling. You know, I mean, we could go through bingo, you know, is gambling in a sense. So you go through lots of things that we do. I think the question with sport, and to your point, is, you know, one, will this corrupt it further? And based on your description, it sounds like that would be hard to do.
Yep.
However, I think there is something to what you're saying, though, in that it's really this is about making money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pure and simple. Bottom line, this is about making money. And what's interesting to me is the states and so forth that are endorsing now that want to have the gambling, like New Jersey. Think about this. They are not gambling. They are guaranteed a revenue stream. So it's kind of interesting to me. The people who are going to make out in this are the ones who are for sure winners. And then, you know, you get into, like, do you want to, in a sense, create a more pervasive problem throughout the rest of society and culture, which we can talk about. But, yeah, I think I would be personally against it. I have nothing wrong with somebody placing a little wager with a friend or something, but I think organized gambling beyond what it exists now, and you have illicit illegal gambling right now. That happens all the time. So
it happens big time. I know a lot of people who love the football season and love sports in general because they call their bookie and they place a bet. You know, and you know, you're right. The house wins. You know, even if you go to an organized, if you go to a casino, the odds are against you. If you call your bookie, the odds are against you. And yet, the game of chance, the possibility of winning, is always a lot of fun. My father, I often talk about him. He was a compulsive gambler and an alcoholic, but. You know, I think one addiction led to the others. He finally conquered his gambling, and it led to his other compulsion, which was alcohol. In the end, he received what I really believe was a miraculous healing. I often share the story of him. I was liberated from both, but he would tell me stories about the bookies in Boston and sports in general, and also the lives that were corrupted by this. How many people have lost so much? And as a kid, I can testify to it personally. My father, you know, he had worked for a CBS affiliate, in a major market. He had made a great salary, and he had lost everything he earned. I mean, there were times where we wondered how we were going to eat some days. You know, would there be enough food on the table? Could you pay the bills? And my poor mother, who's a saint, stood by him and prayed for him. But I saw the dark side of it. Not that my father was ever violent. He never laid a hand on me. But what it does to the family, the division it could create, the hardships when that is unnecessary, just in general. And I fear that if we put up more casinos and if we legalize this, more people are going to find themselves battling perhaps a compulsion, because that's how it begins, or perhaps losing, you know, the money that they work hard for, and their family suffers, not just them, but their family as well.
To your point exactly here is that, and by the way, can somebody gamble without being addicted? Absolutely,
yeah, sure.
Of course, right? However, to your point, the greater the exposure when it becomes legalized, you're exposing it to more people who may not have otherwise been involved in gambling
who
will suddenly get addicted to it. And in California, this is what's interesting. More than 1 million problem and pathological gamblers cost the state more than $1 billion a year.
A billion?
A billion dollars a year. And there was a study done by an economics professor out of Baylor, Earl Grinnells, and he said that one-third to one-half of gambling revenues come from problem gamblers.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, you know, there's something to it. And you know, again, if you look at the NCAA, you look at NFL, you look at NBA, I mean, go through every major sporting association does not want this to happen.
Yeah.
And I could see why. I mean, it's hard enough to control the illegal gambling, but when it gets that pervasive, it's going to be a tough thing to control.
Well, the thing I worry about, too, is just I've done many shows on gambling because, like I said, it was close to me. And always after Super Bowl Sunday, the day that follows, it's called Blue Monday because so many people have, you know, lost a lot of money. There's people who win, but there's a lot of people who've lost. betting on that game. And Gamblers Anonymous, of course, I often bring on to highlight the problem, how to identify it, and how to get help. But I've heard stories, too, from people who gambled like that, who've told us, you know, about what happens in college sports as well as professional sports. Sometimes a pass drop, sometimes a bad call on purpose. My father, he was into horses, you know, and he ran in a circle up in Boston with some mafia people up there at the time. And they would fix horses. You know, there was a lot that went on. I worry that if this becomes if New Jersey is a state that legalizes it, they begin to make profit off it, other states will soon follow. And then
they got to still go against the federal law on this
because there is
a federal law against this right now. You know, Bill Bradley, who was the former, you know, Hall of Famer, NBA, you know, Hall of Famer, basketball player, also, you know, U.S. Senator, he had written about this at one point. He said, you know, we were, and this is why he didn't like it. He said, in a game he was playing, he said, we were ahead by 5 points or so. The opponent hit a basket to cut the lead to 3 points, mm-hmm. and I heard cheering. Bradley said of the seemingly meaningless basket at the end of the game, I asked why, and someone said they were cheering because the other team had covered the point spread.
Went over. That is so
funny. Isn't that something? I mean, so I think that kind of gave him an idea there was something else going on there. And you can just see how tenuous that could be, you know, if you start putting that across every kind of sport, all college sports and everything else, all, you know, legal in every state. The NCAA, by the way, says they won't have any championship games. So I don't know what they'll do if the whole country goes, you know, legalizes it.
Yeah, right. That's interesting. My guest today is Dr. Bill Thierfelder. If you want to join the conversation, I'll open the phones. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to share your comments, experiences, ask your questions. Our toll-free number here is 877-ROME, 777-877-ROME, 777. We're talking about betting on professional sports. Governor Chris Christie wanting to legalize it in his state, although there is a federal law against it. Although, here's the thing. You know, you can bet offshore. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, they get these casinos that are offshore, and that's how they bet on their games. And so there are ways, I guess, to get around it. And I think in some of the casinos, like in Vegas and places like that, I thought you could bet on certain sports. So I don't know what the governor's doing.
There's actually four states that have an exemption to the federal law. I think it's like Montana, Nevada, Oregon, and Delaware.
There you go. Oh, you're right.
They got out of it in some way. And I think there was a loophole actually for New Jersey, but they didn't act on it soon enough. This was back in the 90s, and so they now are going to have to go back against the law, I guess, at this point. But the U.S. National Gambling Impact Study Commission that did a whole study on this thing, they came back and said that actually even with the four who were given the exemption, that they believe that Congress was misled in allowing the legalizing of sports gambling, even those four states.
And what was the rationale against it? Because here's the thing. I'll argue for it for a minute. I'll say, look, we all know that people bet on professional sports. You know, they do it. They've got office pools. They call their bookie. They do whatever. As well as non-professional sports all the time. There's fantasy football. That is huge, a huge business. That's why I think football is so successful.
Right.
The Super Bowl, March Madness.
Yeah, absolutely.
It happens all the time. So why not just legalize it like, you know, Colorado and Washington have legalized marijuana?
Well, there's studies and information that says that actually when you legalize gambling in places, illegal gambling tends to increase, and it says for a number of reasons. I mean, there's the untaxed operators, the illicit guys aren't paying taxes, so they can still offer better odds and do the bigger payoffs and loans that, you know, legal operators couldn't give, they can still give. And so it's sort of like once it gets started, it's with the point you were making, it would tend to maybe open it up and create a problem that, again, maybe most people wouldn't have it. You know, I've been out in Las Vegas before, and I have to tell you, I don't like it a lot. But, you know, hey, if you want to go in and spend your $10 or $20, whatever it is. But I tell you, it turned me off when I would see people there like all day long, they're very clever how they do this, as you've probably seen. I mean, they have the bank machines right behind where you are,
and
they encourage you. And I'll tell you, I was doing a talk out there. That's why I was there. And when I was flying back, I'm at the airport, and you just can't help overhear certain people. And I mean, there were people who had lost like, you know, $3,000 and $5,000 that did not have that money to lose. I mean, they were going back home trying to figure out how they were going to, you know, either tell their wife or their husband or whatever it was. And I just thought, again, these could be exceptions, but would the legalization of gambling actually, I guess, perpetuate it and make it bigger than it really already is?
You know, gambling's interesting too, those casinos. And you're a psychologist, so you can understand this. In the casinos, you'll never find a clock. I mean, no. They don't want you to know what time it is. There's no windows. You don't see the daylight. And the other thing is they don't even let you use your own money. If I saw a $10, $20, or $100 bill on a table, I would think twice before you would wager that. But once you get these little chips, they all look the same. They're kind of colored. They simply have some number on it.
Right.
And you're throwing that stuff around like it's Monopoly, you know,
exactly,
chips.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're down that $5,000, like you just said, for people. And people, I got to get it back. I got to get it back. I can't afford to lose this. And they bet more in the hopes of just breaking even. It's a vicious cycle. It really is.
And you know, the addiction is a lot like drug addiction. And right now, it's interesting. They said 4 to 6% of the younger generation, which is almost double the gambling addiction rate of older generations. So younger people seem to be more susceptible to it today than, I guess, in the past for some reason.
Wow.
So and again, then you get into the whole internet thing. I mean, you know how it is. You open up the Pandora's box, and now you say, "Well, we're just going to do this here." And oh no, we're not going to do internet, you know, gambling in a sense. But of course, people do it right now. I mean, there's bookies that wager and so forth online. But imagine opening that up. I mean, it just and again, laws are usually designed to try to make a statement about the morals of a culture or society in terms of trying to lead people to hopefully do, you know, what they think is in the best interest, you know, for a culture and a society.
Do you think Governor Christie is going to hurt his state rather than help it by doing this?
I think so. I just think it's a desperate attempt, you know, to make more money. I mean, this whole thing, I mean, pro sports, as we've talked about before, most of the problems you have is that people are not responding in moral and ethical ways. They're responding in financial ways. They're saying, hey, this is about making money.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I'm from Philadelphia initially. Grew up watching Pete Rose play for the Phillies because I get traded to the Cincinnati Reds. But, of course, this guy should have been in a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Instead, you know, he gambled on the games. And that's another thing you got to be concerned about, you know. Will this in some way influence the outcome of games by, you know, finding an athlete that might have a proclivity for this type of stuff?
Right.
Doctor, when we come back, we can talk more. It's 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I'd love to get your take on whether or not Catholics should be involved in sports betting. And the church doesn't say you can't, you know, when it comes to Game of Chance. But should Catholics be involved in sports betting? Also, I only have about 10 minutes left. If you want to join us, I can go to the phones. I'll open them when I return. You can share your own experiences, what you went through, and ask your questions, and feel free to join the conversation. Again, the number is 877-ROME-777. If you're listening in the great state of New Jersey, what do you think? Good idea? Should Governor Christie do this? New York, I know it's right across the border for you. A quick shot down there for some legalized gambling. What do you think? 877-ROME-777. We're back with more right after this.
Morning Air with John Harper.
Father James Kubicki, our guest. How many times do we hear in the Gospels about Jesus had to withdraw at a time? He went to the top of the hill. He went away from his disciples. That as God and man also needed time for prayer.
That's so true. Throughout Luke's Gospel especially. And what's interesting is, you know, he has this personal, deep relationship with the Father that he invites us all to also have. And when he goes out and does ministry, he depends upon us and our faith and our prayer. Because there's a number of instances in the Gospels where it says Jesus could not work many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So there's this beautiful cooperation there that Jesus respects and loves us so much that he invites us to be part of his work.
Start your day with Morning Air.
Morning Air with John Harper. Weekday mornings at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on Relevant Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Marcia. I thought I heard roosters crowing in the background.
You did.
I love it.
Your phone is a radio.
Listen anywhere on the planet
with the Relevant Radio app.
Are you listening to the Relevant Radio app outside of Houston?
Yeah.
Take us anywhere with the app in New York City. Father James. Hey, Father.
Download the Relevant Radio app at your device's app store or at relevantradio.com. Keyword app.
A uniquely Catholic experience, over a million visitors each month, and one could be waiting for you at CatholicMatch.com. The sacrament of marriage is vital to our Catholic faith, so consider taking a leap of faith and connect with other Catholic singles on CatholicMatch.com.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, now 7 minutes before the top of the hour, taking a look at gambling. Should Catholics be involved in sports betting? Should we gamble? I mean, we're called to be good stewards of our money. Should we gamble? You know, should we put something down on the bingo game or the football game or What say you? You can join us 877-ROME-777. During the break, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, who is the author of a great book, pick this one up. It's called The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sports, Business, and Everyday Life. The head title of that is Less Than a Minute to Go, and that's the subtitle of it. Check it out, okay, online. He was sharing with me a story when he was were you in Vegas? Where were you when you saw the billboards that were promoting these casinos?
There's a time, obviously you're asked to speak around the country, yeah. And they sometimes have the conferences in Las Vegas, and I was staying at this hotel, and of course, not being a high roller, I didn't have one of the better rooms, and so my room overlooked the roof below of the casino, and you could see, behind the signs, and I was struck by the gross, rusted, dirty, ugly look behind these signs and the roof of this building, and then right over the sign that I'm looking at, you can see the other side of the strip, which was all the popping lights and the glamour and all the kinds of stuff going on. And it just struck me how surfacey the whole thing was, and that really, to a great degree, there is a lot of decay and bad stuff under the surface that you never get to see behind the bright lights,
Such a great insight. That's so true. Not everything that glitters is gold. Let's talk before, and I'm going to grab a few phone calls. They're coming in now, and sure. My producers are screening it, but I'm just curious from a Catholic perspective on sports betting and gambling in general. What does the church say, and is it okay to wager? Should there be a limit? Is it based on how much you can afford? Give me your take on all that.
Well, the Catechism says that, obviously gambling for Catholics is not intrinsically evil. In other words, whether it's a lottery or you're betting or doing a wager on something, you can do that. However, it does say to, which it doesn't surprise me, to apply the virtues. So, first of all, you look at temperance. So, are your passions and emotions under control, or using your reason, to act in a moderate way with the goods that you have and so forth. And the second one is justice, to make sure that, again, the game is fair, the whole thing is reasonable, and that you're also meeting your obligations to support yourself, your families, pay your debts and all those kinds of things. So, Again, I think a reasonable person can put down a bet on an NFL pool in your office or something. Right. I don't see a problem with that. I think the bigger problem is, does it, on a massive scale, does it do more to harm society or not? I mean, that's really, I think, the big question.
Well said. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Appleton, Wisconsin first. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yes, I would like to give my opinion. I think gambling is not a great idea. It's not a good idea. It shouldn't be legalized because it's so easy for an individual to fall into greed or addictive type behaviors, and a lot of poor people gamble, and that's too bad. What I think a person should do if they need to obtain more money is to go to school or get a second or third job and just pray to our Lord that they get more money. Because when you get into gambling, it's so easy for money to become your idol or in greed. It's just, I don't think it's really a rational, idea.
Mark, thank you. Let me follow up on it. Now, I want you to respond, Doctor, to that. I've seen some commentary on this that Pope Francis would say to anyone who spends money on gambling, they're spending it frivolously, and the money could be better probably spent on the poor. Your comments on Mark, and is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mark makes a great point, which is, again, there's going to be many people that are going to be more susceptible to, let's say, the ills of gambling, and you certainly wouldn't want to encourage people to do those kinds of things. Pope Francis, of course, but you can look at much of our life, especially in the United States, where we are very affluent and everybody to a great degree has a lot of stuff. Yeah. You could say, hey, should you go to the amusement park and even go to the rides? I mean, there's a lot of money that we spend that could be used to help those that are in greater need. And so the Pope makes a good point about that. The question is it the worst thing in the world if you went and, bought a lottery ticket? No, of course not. But again, I think all of these things, like most of life, you want to make sure the virtues are in place and that there's a balance in your life and that you're doing something that's prudent and reasonable.
All right. My guest today, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, there's a proposal in Massachusetts to limit the building of casinos there, and the bishops have gotten behind that. I thought that was interesting, too. Final call, though. Let me grab this from Andy in Wisconsin. Hi, Andy.
You're getting hammered from Wisconsin, it sounds like. We have a lot of casinos in Wisconsin that have come up in the last 20 years that weren't around before, so maybe that's why you're getting so many callers.
Mm-hmm.
My comment, my dad lost his 401k from a gambling addiction, so I've been sensitive about that. And, I totally agree with the idea of, you can put your money in other places. The benefit and risk of gambling is obviously obvious. But the big thing is that you have this void in your life that you need to fill with God. And people are trying to fill it with this, you know, with gambling. And it bothers me that they try fostering this with children. If you go to any birthday party where they have video games and so on, and you win tickets, and then you take those tickets and you go and you buy, you know, this, you know, sucker or whatever with it. And kids don't go there to have fun. They go there to try to get as many tickets as they can, and it's fostering this idea of trying to, you know, fill this void with junk and the materialism of it. And I don't know if they're paid off by the casinos.
Andy, we're seeing a higher percentage of children betting because of that than you're saying, right?
That's my theory.
Right.
I don't know. If it's
I'm going to leave it right there because I hear my bumper. And, Doctor, I appreciate you being here. The book, again, less than a minute to go, A Secret to World-Class Performance in Sports, Business, and Everyday Life, available online at less than a minute to go. Amazon, check your Catholic bookstores. Check around for that as well. And, of course, don't forget to check out Belmont Abbey College. Great, great institution. I'll be back with more. Stay with me.